You know, Wendy, a pessimist would hear Mary say that there are apples all over the ramp and say, well, that's going to screw up traffic. But an optimist says, applesauce for everybody. This is great.
The road is half full.
The road is definitely half full today.
I've heard so many jokes today. Road apples, applesauce.
Yep.
You know, apple wine even.
Yep. I don't like apples. That's the only fruit.
That's un-American.
Apple pie?
People are going to accuse you of being a communist for saying that.
Apple pie.
Go ahead. Have at it, people.
You're supposed to, even if you don't like apple pie, it's one of those things you're supposed to pretend you like.
I like apple pie, but I tried for a while to have an apple every day, not to keep the doctor away, but just because it's
to
good.
Do it.
It's good for you, not really high in calories.
Right.
It makes
plentiful.
But it makes me hungrier. It's like it doesn't satiate me.
That's interesting.
An apple, the skin is sometimes kind of hard to
chew.
What about a taffy apple?
Well, yeah,
you gotta like
of course,
taffy apples, Wendy. You have
sweeten
to
sweeten it up.
Yeah. Even a green, I would try. You've tried the green apple,
the Granny Smith.
Yeah, it's a little more sour, a little more tart. Nothing
God
wrong with that.
God doesn't like little green apples. Right. It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
Except that
so
it does.
If you were an apple, Wendy, what apple would you be?
I'd be the Honeycrisp.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, based on.
Those are probably the best apple because they are a little tart and a little sweet, which is much like me.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go for Red Delicious, but
I like the Gala.
Mm. Is it Gala?
I'd say Gala.
Yeah.
But Honeycrisp. What about the food?
Yeah, Honeycrisp is the way to go.
All good.
Or were you calling me Honeycrisp?
Oh, you Sugar Crisp.
Too many to pick from now.
They're not good though. None of them are good.
What would you, if you were in charge of the apple industry, Wendy? What would you do to improve on the apple to make it better?
Make it taste more like a nectarine. That's the best.
Well, they have
ever.
Nectarines
for
that.
Yeah, I know. I get those. And I have an issue with that, too, if we're talking produce for a minute.
What is it? Go ahead.
You can never find the perfectly ripe nectarine at any grocery store.
Right.
Either it's too hard because they've just put it out.
Yes.
Or it's overripe and people's thumbprints are in it.
No, there's something to that.
Like, come on.
But isn't that that's part of the magic of the nectarine is that you won't find a perfect one, but the quest is part of the fun.
I have enough quests in
my
life.
You don't need another quest?
No. If you ever seen me try to pick out 12 limes for Freshies, which is a fresh margarita, I'm there for an hour.
Because
you need a shiny skin, because that means it's juicier. You don't want it like dimpled and dull, because you won't get the juice out of it. And then, of course, if there's a bruise on it, I must be there for an hour going through it.
I was just going to say, and I've thought about this in the past, whenever you talked about shopping, I can't even imagine the amount of time you spend in the produce department.
That's the only thing. And the bread. I always squeeze the bread to make sure I get
that
the softest one.
See, I think that's the apple I would be the dimpled and dull.
But to your point, the hype of an apple has gone on forever. People talk about it's America's food is the
They're
apple. As American as apple pie. They're okay. They're not horrible.
They're not like terrible, but
right.
They're not good. And I love radishes. I know that's a really strange
transition.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it kind of has the same crunch to it. It's just, I don't know, an apple, it's like, it's not enough flavor. It's just, meh.
It leaves you empty.
It does.
And more hungry for some
reason.
Isn't
that weird?
I don't know why that would be.
It just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't fill me up.
That's so strange. I wish things were better.
It's
this
all right.
is horrible. No, it's, you're supposed to, we're all supposed to like apples. It's in our DNA. We're supposed to like them.
Because you're supposed to take your family or your loved ones to go apple picking,
yes.
you know?
I've done that.
I'll pick strawberries. Strawberries are great, too.
You hate the whole thing, everything about the apple.
They're overrated.
Steve, years ago at Q101, Wendy and I had Fiona Apple on. Wendy wouldn't
didn't
talk
like
to
her. No.
Wouldn't even talk to her.
That's because when I took a bite out of her, she didn't have much flavor.
Right. She was not happy about
that. Got in trouble for that.
Why was that ugly? That went wrong quick.
I'm sorry. I'm going to try apples again, and Honeycrisp is the way to go, but they're just boring.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you like apples?
I think they're fine. Like, if there were 10 fruit in front of me, that wouldn't be the first one I would go for.
Can I guess your first one?
Well, you know the first one.
Ruby red grapefruit.
Love it. Flawless.
Do you have a grapefruit knife?
Yes.
Where it's kind of, it's serrated on one side,
yeah.
And then the other side, it's like two blades and there's a little space in the middle so you can get through the...
No, I don't have that because I have a grapefruit spoon.
I have that too.
That's a miracle. Whoever came up with that, thank you.
But, so if you were to draw someone whose two favorite foods were club soda and red grapefruit,
yeah,
I wouldn't come up with Bill Leff.
It wouldn't be me?
No.
How come?
You like some weird foods.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know how, like, orange juice has become the juice, like, the default juice of America is orange juice. If you're having breakfast, people just go, well, there's going to be some orange juice there, right? I don't know why it's not grapefruit juice. Grapefruit juice is so much better than orange juice is good. It's really good.
I like cranberry.
Cranberry juice is really good. But grapefruit juice is just flawless.
You know how you use orange juice to make a mimosa, mm-hmm. which is how I like my orange mm-hmm. juice? Can you do that with ruby red grapefruit?
Oh, yeah.
I never even thought to do it.
I imagine you'd call it something else.
We got to find the Bill Leff.
Well, I don't know.
The Bubbly Bill.
I don't. Well, that does sound nice, actually. At first, I wasn't sold on it, but now that you say it that way.
The Bubbly Bill?
Yeah, now that's got something.
We're going to change the world, and every brunch will now have a Bubbly Bill.
Oh, that does sound nice.
It's fun to say, too.
We'll take a little break, and then there's more show ahead. We're 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We were talking apples. We got an abundance of texts. Try eating them with caramel dip. That makes them better.
That's like a taffy apple. Who's going to say no to that?
I eat two jazz apples a day, Jasmine. I don't go a day without eating several apples.
Love it.
Mm.
Honey crisp apples sliced with chunky peanut butter. Yummy. That's pretty good.
Sure.
Somebody says they drink a Bubbly Bill all the time.
Oh, it already exists.
Another OCD produce browser. I'm on Wendy's side. I take forever to pick out my bananas. And that's true because you don't want them too ripe. You don't want them too green.
Right.
It's just
tough. Have seen people spend an insane amount of time feeling the fruit. You know, just doing what you described, which is just being very meticulous, making sure they find the exact right insert name of your favorite fruit here.
I bought a cantaloupe the other day, and I just saw it sitting in the fruit basket. It's still there. I haven't cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that you need to press on the little navel of it, and if it goes in a little bit, that means it's ripe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know either.
That's handy.
I've also heard like a watermelon or a cantaloupe or honeydew, if there's a yellowish spot on it,
yeah.
I usually put it away. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's not a good one. But then someone told me that means it's sweeter because that's where it touched the ground. And for some reason, I don't know. I'm not very good at produce.
Can I tell you the one thing that I love more than anything in the produce aisle? And I'm an adult.
Jackfruit?
No. The jackfruit's fine. But it's the mere fact that it will rain on the produce.
And sometimes, singing in the rain.
Sometimes you get a Broadway show tune.
And a crash of thunder.
Yeah. And I know I'm an adult and I shouldn't be so amazed by it. But every time it happens while I'm there, I look around as if to say to other people, what a glorious time we live in. Isn't this amazing?
That usually happens when I'm reaching in the far back for some romaine lettuce, and then I get sprinkled.
Is there no warning on that? Does it just happen?
The song comes first.
And then it starts to storm on the fruit and the vegetables.
It is pretty cool.
I love that. I'm glad it doesn't happen in other parts of the store. I'm glad it just happens in the produce department, because that would be rude if you were looking at breakfast cereal and it just started, like a volcano just came out of nowhere. That'd be horrible.
They should do that in the chocolate aisle. Yeah. The chocolate volcano.
Yeah.
I make Bubbly Bills all the time. They're delicious. So we've decided a new drink instead of a mimosa.
Yeah.
Or we could, a Billmosa?
A mimosa is orange juice and champagne.
So mostly champagne.
It would be grapefruit juice and mostly champagne.
Yeah.
Yep.
A Bubbly Bill?
Yep.
Somebody suggested we bring that to Leo Burnett and
anything could happen.
It.
Wow.
The Bubbly Bill.
That would be great. I have to tell you yesterday, I've already told Steve this, but I want to share it with you and with all the listeners. I've known Steve a long time, and I love Steve Bertrand, Wendy. There's nobody loving Steve Bertrand more than me.
He's not even there.
Steve said something so interesting on John Williams' show yesterday, and to the casual listener, if you just heard Steve say it, you would think, oh, no, he didn't just say that. Did he just say that? He can't mean that. If he said that, he can't possibly mean it. But I understood it because I think I understand most of what Steve means when he says stuff.
You get him, man.
I kind of get him. He was saying that if there, and I don't think he's here right now to defend himself.
He's having lunch.
Is he having lunch
recording
right now?
The Mincing Rascals podcast.
Oh, is he?
All right.
Should I wait? Should I do it later with him here to explain himself?
Yeah.
Because he did try to explain himself on the show yesterday, on John Williams' show, but I don't think he did himself justice.
I think you should wait. Oh, I think he's back.
Is he coming back?
Yes.
All right.
I'm sorry. We're doing the Mincing Rascals, too, so I'm bouncing back
oh,
and forth.
Oh, all right. Steve, I was just saying how on John's show yesterday, you said something that if people didn't know you as well as I know you, they would think what you were saying is cruel, but it wasn't cruel.
I think I know what
I didn't
you're
mean,
talking about.
I clearly did not say it well, because what I was saying was, I hate being stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And you see up there, oh, there's a half a mile, there it is. You can see the lights or whatever.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get there, it's all cleared up.
Right.
I want to know what held me up.
Right.
I don't want to see injured people, or I don't want to see pain or suffering.
Of course not.
Maybe it's just a dangling car or something. But I
want a payoff.
I don't want to be robbed. I don't want to pay the price without the payoff. Right.
But I think to the casual listener who heard you say it, because you said something like, I want to see the accident. And I think for a lot of people who are driving in their cars going, wait, what a ghoul that is. That
we all think that way, though. You want to see what was holding you up.
That's right. All. Right.
Because if part of your day has been spent behind something, you almost need the closure of knowing what caused it. Is that right?
What a tragedy if you're held up by a crossing family of ducks and the ducks are gone by the time you get there.
Right.
And when I say gone, I don't mean run over.
Right. You
no
mean
pay off.
Right.
And every time I see an ambulance, I make the sign of the cross and say, I hope they're okay.
Do you do that?
Every time.
Do you know, when I went to St. Damien, a Catholic school, obviously, every nun that I had from first grade to eighth grade, every single nun, and now I know you, have done that.
I'm not a nun.
No,
I should have been. I could have been.
You would have been an interesting nun.
You do that too, Jasmine?
Yeah.
I saw my kids do it, and that made me feel good. Like, that's one nice thing I taught them as a mom.
That's so interesting you do that.
I'm concerned about the hands-free driving, though, because if you take a hand...
Right.
I got one on it.
Okay.
I'm saying the sign of the cross and the prayer for the people you're waiting to see, so I'd zip it.
So you're a better person than me,
that's
clearly.
What I'm saying.
One of the nuns would go so far, like, she'd be mid-sentence. She'd be up in front of the class showing us something on the chalkboard, and then an ambulance would go by, and she would take a knee, like they do in the NFL. I think for different reasons. I'm almost sure for different reasons.
Was it Sister Colin Kaepernick?
Sister Kaepernick used to do this.
Didn't she trip on her robe?
No. No, no, no. She would just very slowly go to one knee, bow her head, put her hands in prayer position, and, you know, that would take a minute or two.
That's
and then
sweet.
After the ambulance would go by, it was business as usual.
But if we were all like Steve Bertrand, we would need an update about what happened.
Right.
So
right.
I should write down the number of the ambulance and then call and go, could you give me the outcome?
Yes.
Which reminds me of a nun who I had in high school, Sister Helen Cavanaugh.
Oh.
And we used to call her Flying Sister Helen Cavanaugh.
After
Jim Cavanaugh.
Oh, Jim Cavanaugh, right. Flying Officer Cavanaugh. Did she get the reference?
Yeah, Flying Sister Helen Cavanaugh.
You said it to her face?
Absolutely.
Wendy, this was in the era of the flying nun, so it all made sense.
Yeah. Nuns have senses of humor,
oh,
too.
Oh, yes. Outrageous sense of humors. Senses of humors. Senses of humor. Whatever they have. Yeah.
I do the sign of the cross when passing a funeral procession, says 847.
Oh.
I touch my belly button because you're supposed to touch... Or I hate that. It's my navel.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to... I heard that you were supposed to touch your belly button or else you'd be the next person in the hearse. But
what?
Then I looked into that and it's like you're supposed to touch a button of some sort.
Oh.
But
well,
I still don't even know why.
That might be superstition.
But I can't stop.
Might be.
If my shirt's tucked in, I have to go, oh, hang on.
I don't remember the nuns I had doing that part of it.
They couldn't
just
get to their belly button.
This. Oh, you don't know that.
They'd have to... They can't. They have a robe on.
No, habit.
All right.
But the summer ones had the bare midriffs. They were very progressive at my school. Very progressive. All right, we must take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show. Steve, thanks for coming back. I know you were doing Mincing Rascals. I appreciate that.
I'm here to help.
It's very nice of you. More show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Very superstitious, Wendy. Writing's on the wall.
You're so hip.
Thank you.
This is the coolest keyboard, is
it
not?
Yeah.
We were talking about It started with produce talk.
It always does, doesn't it? It always does.
And I said I made the sign of the cross when I see an ambulance. You said the nuns at your school did that.
Every nun at my school did it. Every one of them.
But I don't take a knee.
You don't. That's up to you. That's
optional. I'm usually
driving. Oh, yeah. Then please don't.
Then I said, when you see a funeral procession, I touch my belly button. And then I read later that it's supposed to be a button. I found out what it means.
The derivation of this? What is it?
It is believed that grabbing a button on your clothing when passing hearses or funeral cars will help you stay connected to life and the living rather than the death. Can I just ask someone what a button has to do with that?
All right. I know this will seem crazy, and I don't know the whole story, but somebody told us once on this show that it was a tradition for a while when somebody died to put buttons on their eyes.
That's exactly where I was going to go,
what?
Bill. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Buttons on their eyes?
Yes.
You know, you put a coin on their eye to hold the eye down?
Yeah.
I think it was a button. That's exactly what I thought when you said that's where that might have come from.
I don't remember who the guest was or how it came to be that we were discussing that, but they told us that. And Steve, I think you were here and said, I've heard of that before. I'm almost positive.
So they put buttons on
the deceased person's eyes, yeah.
Eyes are going to stay closed. Yeah, you don't need a button
hopefully.
To weigh it down.
Right.
Can't you picture like old dead bodies, like horror films with them on something on their eyes?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Who told you to touch a button when a funeral procession goes by?
My grandmother must have.
Your grandmother did? And did you question it when she told you that?
No.
You just went with it?
I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You just do what you're told.
Yeah.
And then 50 years later,
you're
still doing it.
That's so strange.
Wow. There are a bunch of superstitions that are super strange. For instance, never say happy birthday too early. Celebrating or even congratulating someone on a birthday before the day arrives brings them bad luck.
So if you're not going to see that person on their birthday, you still shouldn't say, I know your birthday's Friday. I'm not going to see you. Happy birthday. I won't see you. Don't do that.
I've done it to so many people. Like if their birthday's on a weekend, hey, have a great birthday. I guess we're not supposed to be that.
Can I tell you one that drives my wife crazy?
Yeah.
My wife, Terry, is an actress. And in the theater, you never say Macbeth, the play Macbeth. You can't say, like what I just said, deadly. Shouldn't say it.
But can you explain why?
All I know is I can't explain why. It's been explained to me, but my head won't keep it in. It's just like, oh, that's ridiculous. You have to say the Scottish play. You cannot say Macbeth. That's bad news.
What do you mean the Scottish play? Okay.
Macbeth is a Scottish. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to substitute that because she was going to audition to be in Macbeth when she and I started dating. And every time I'd say Macbeth, she'd say, don't say it. I won't get the part. If you say it, I won't get the part. But
they're saying Macbeth, William Shakespeare's play Macbeth is said to be cursed. So actors avoid saying it.
Right. So you know how, like, when you remember the thing about your mom step on a crack, break your mother's back?
Yeah.
If you were mad at your mom, you'd hit every single crack.
As hard as you could.
If Terry and I were ever having a disagreement, I would say Macbeth, Macbeth, Macbeth. I would just say that. That was, like, the worst thing in the world you could say to her.
All right, that's pretty good.
Then I would step on a crack. I just wanted to cover all bases.
You're also not supposed to say good luck to someone. You're supposed to say break a leg. Where did that come
from? Isn't that ridiculous?
Did Macbeth have a broken leg? Buttons on their eyes?
No, that's all separate. People who are ensconced in theater, if you say good luck to them, it's like you say to them, I hope your show's a colossal failure. It's like the worst thing you could possibly say. You have to say the opposite, which is break a leg. But then if that person breaks a leg, then you feel terrible.
And that could totally happen.
That could always happen.
I don't know where that came from. The phrase break a leg is a jovial encouragement.
It's been around for centuries.
For actors to have good luck before they go on stage, especially on open night.
Yep, on opening night, as they say.
Theatrical types are well known for their belief.
Saying opening night, Steve, is bad
wrong.
Luck.
It's
you
like
have
Macbeth.
To say
open
exactly.
Night.
I don't know what's happened to me. I'm having difficulty today. Theatrical types are well known for their belief in superstitions, or at least for their willingness to make a show of pretending to believe in them. The term "break a leg" appears to come from the belief that one ought not to utter the words "good luck" to an actor. By wishing someone bad luck, it's supposed that the opposite will occur. But who would you ever say bad luck tonight?
Right. You'd have to really not like that person.
Other superstitions are that it's bad luck to whistle in a theater.
Yep.
To
I've
say
heard
the
that.
Final line of a play during dress rehearsal, or to say the name of the Scottish play Macbeth.
Right. And they take it very seriously. There's no wiggle room at all. Zero.
See, and I thought comedians were twisted. Now it's maybe...
Well, can I tell you one about a comedian? I used to open for... the HBO used to do a series called HBO One Night Stands, where they filmed almost all of them here in Chicago at the Vic Theater, and I was the opening act for almost half of them, right? So there was a guy named Rick Aviles. He was a stand-up comic. He's best known for... in the movie Ghost, he's the guy who kills Patrick Swayze.
Spoiler alert!
I think the title's a spoiler alert. Ghost.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
All right. So it was his HBO one-night stand, and I was the opening act. And before the show, I got there 2 hours before the show, and he's on stage just kind of going through the motions of what he's going to do. And I go over and I introduce myself, and he's kind of surly to begin with. But as our conversation is over, I say, well, it was really nice meeting you. Good luck tonight. And then I get pushed by him from behind. He pushes me.
God, I hate that.
I didn't even see it coming. And I turn around and I go, did you just push me? He goes, did you just say good luck to me? I go, I did. He goes, you don't do that. I want you out. You're not going to do the show. So he calls the producer over and he goes, he's fired. And the producer goes, he's not fired. And he goes, I say he's fired. I don't want him opening the show. He wished me good luck. And the producer laughed and he goes, I'm not kidding. And this goes back and forth. And I go, I don't care. I don't have to do the show. I can walk. It doesn't matter to me. So the producer calms him down and he goes, he didn't mean it. He probably didn't know. And I, of course, I knew. I wasn't trying to sabotage him or anything like that. So when we actually did the show a few hours later, I do the opening. Everything's fine. And then I introduce him. And as we're crossing, I go, good luck, with a huge smile on my face.
You're a meanie.
I had to. He pushed me.
But why did it so?
He cold pushed me. He cold pushed me from behind.
What was his name again?
Rick Aviles.
Who?
He's no longer with us.
Oh, that's why you're
because I said good luck. I think because I wished him good luck.
Speaking of Ghost.
While touching a button. Or without touching a button.
Red Buttons was with me. I was holding his hand while I did it.
If you were sitting in a car with Red Buttons and you passed a funeral procession, yeah. Could you just touch him?
You could touch Red Buttons, yes.
All right, well, that's good to know. Hi, is this Katie?
It is. It's Kate, yep.
Hi, Kate. So where'd this break a leg come from?
Well, I wish I had the direct punchline connection, but it does come from John Wilkes Booth jumping down on the stage after he assassinated President Lincoln. He got his leg caught on the drapery pullback,
yeah,
and broke it. He landed on the stage, and he made it all right to get out, to get free.
It all comes from that?
Yes, it does. I think you can find it on, not Wikipedia, but
it's
Google it.
I got it. It's at theatercrafts.com. We have to take a quick break, Katie, but we'll explore this further. Thank you for knowing that.
Oh, I know so much.
Well, call back anytime.
See you guys.
Thanks, Kate.
You're great.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
All right, quick break, and then I found this, and I have more superstitions. And if you have one, we're here for you. 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Break a leg, Bill.
Thank you.
Kate called us and said that it that saying came from the Lincoln Wilkes Booth injury. Here's the information I have from theatercrafts.com.
What do they say?
They said, superstition against wishing an actor good luck has led to the adoption of this phrase in its place. Popular etymology derives the phrase from the 1865 assassination of Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth, the actor turned assassin, leapt to the stage of Ford's Theater after the murder, breaking his leg in the process. The logical connection with good luck is none too clear, but such is folklore. Now, it goes on to say there is no evidence, however, to suggest that this is the true derivation. And since the earliest usage of the phrase dates to the 1920s, there is much to suggest that this is not the real origin.
I don't know any other profession where you hope you give the person hope in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Like if you're a construction worker, I wouldn't say, I hope your building falls down, and then we all smile. Why is it like that in theater, but in no other profession?
That is such a good point. Now, they have another theory at theatercrafts.com. It says, for contemporary English-speaking theater people, the ritual greeting reflects that calamitous 42nd Street production, Break a Leg. However, the rather terrible curse may have had a more benign origin. Much earlier in stage history, when superstition had a less frightening hold on the craft, actors and their followers used a more gracious greeting, May you break a leg, by which it was meant that the evening's performance would be of such grandeur that the actor would be obliged to break a leg, which means technically bend his knee in a deep bow, acknowledging the audience applause.
Oh, I've never heard that. Goes,
did you read the text about Shakespeare?
No. What's it say, Mary?
A couple text people said, in Shakespearean time, when you would curtsy or bow, you would bend your knee or break a leg. Therefore, if your play was good or received well, you would be taking bows or breaking a leg.
That makes more sense.
I believe
sense.
That one more.
Yeah,
way
I do
more
too.
Sense.
And there were two texters that said that.
There's another one, too.
What's the other one?
Evidently, in the days of early vaudeville, the producers would book more performers than could possibly perform in the given time of the show, mm-hmm. since bad acts could be pulled before their completion. So in order to ensure that the show didn't start paying people who didn't actually perform, there was a general policy that a performer did not get paid unless they actually performed on stage. So the phrase break a leg referred to breaking the visual plane of the legs that lined the side of the stage. I don't know if I believe
that's
that
a stretch.
One.
It's a lot of words.
I don't believe it.
And this one is the one I believe. It is a wish of good luck, but it was meant to outsmart sprites.
Oh, those sprites.
Or ghosts or spirits that were believed to enjoy wreaking havoc and causing trouble.
Theater sprites?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Interesting.
I believe the take a leg, take a bow.
That one seems to make the most sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Break a leg? Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Shakespeare. Yeah.
As a rule.
Yeah.
You should always believe him.
Gotta go with Shakespeare.
312-981-7200. Bill is on the line with us. Hey, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to let you know that years ago in racing, in automobile racing, it was considered bad luck to have a race car painted green.
Because why?
They just felt because the green flag, and it just ended up being a bad luck situation with that. But what happened was Lotus came along,
yeah.
and then brought Jimmy Clark into the racing scene, and they won a bunch of races and championships, and that all changed.
I wonder why green.
Well,
I'm not sure, but I just know that for years, even at Indianapolis, you never saw a race car that was a green color until, like I said, until Lotus came along.
That's interesting. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
With regular cars, for a long time, a yellow car was bad luck because it's the color of a lemon, which is the word for a bad car. So all the major car companies didn't put out yellow cars for years, but now you see them again.
I will. We had a yellow car. It was a Hornet. I can't remember the... It was a Hornet, an AMC Hornet wagon. It was like taxi cab yellow with wood paneling on it.
Nice.
Very popular.
Very nice.
And we got hit by a semi in that car.
Oh.
That's the only yellow car we've had. The only terrible thing. Yeah. Here's another one. Don't place two mirrors opposite each other. The infinite reflections may look cool, but in Mexico and other places, facing mirrors open a doorway for the devil.
I've heard that.
I have. Mirrors are weird.
Yeah.
Never stick your chopstick straight up.
Never, ever.
Steve is adamant about this one.
This is a big no-no in Japan. Poking chopsticks down into your food is a big no-no. The utensils look like the unlucky number 4, which means death, and also the incense sticks used at funerals. Another tip, don't point your chopsticks at anyone. It's just rude.
That I know for a fact.
I've not heard that.
I don't know if this is on their list, but have you ever heard the one about you should never put a hat on a bed? Does that make sense to you at all?
Was it a hat? I thought it was shoes.
No, well, they say the same of shoes, but not for... That's more for cleanliness reasons.
Oh, okay.
Than for
Why
luck.
Not a hat?
I don't know.
I always thought there's never put a bed on a hat.
Oh, well, that's also bad luck.
Give a penny if you've received something sharp. Gifting anything with a blade can supposedly sever a relationship. So if you receive a knife set or a pair of scissors as a present, give the person a coin in return. It's funny, when I bought my Wusthof Trident knives,
yes.
In the literature that came with it, there was a little cardboard triangular thing to show you how to place your blade on the sharpening tool.
Yeah.
And taped to that little triangular cardboard was a penny.
For luck, obviously.
Well, obviously,
according to that,
you need to give a coin if you get something sharp. And when my grandmother, again, my grandma pops into this, but she'd get me a new wallet, she'd always put a penny in the coin thing, like your lucky penny.
Oh. My dad, who I don't consider to be a superstitious person, I've seen him do this at least a dozen times over the years. If he spills salt at the dinner table, he quickly throws it over his shoulder.
My kids still do that.
Well, you do that too before spilling it. That's just a good habit to have.
To just take salt and just toss it over your shoulder?
Yeah,
Steve?
For luck.
But how could
No, it's only when you spill
I've
it.
I've heard it when you spill it. I've never heard it other than if you spill it. You know it that way?
I thought you just did it all the time. I've been wasting a lot of salt.
I've been to Steve's house. When do you trip on salt when you're in there?
They just keep hitting Burrow in the face. He's over my left shoulder.
I think it's just when you spill it, and my kids still do it, and it drives me nuts, because then I got to get the Swiffer out. Like, hello, we're in a house here.
But how could that possibly,
even if
you were the most superstitious person in the world, how could that make spilling salt okay to throw it over your shoulder?
To use salt, you have to, how do you spill salt?
You knock into it, and if the salt shaker falls over.
Yeah.
Like you're reaching for the pepper and you knock the salt. And do you do it with pepper?
No, only salt. And also, Steve, the house I grew up in, it was a revolving kitchen. You know how they have revolving restaurants at the top of hotels sometimes? Our kitchen was revolving. Yeah.
So you'd have to reach for the salt sometimes?
Yep.
I get that.
Yep. It was crazy.
Fries are done. Here's another superstition. This is a Filipino tradition called pag-pag or pog-pog. It dictates that people never go straight back to their own home after a wake. Otherwise, a bad spirit might tag along and come inside.
That's interesting.
Mourners will make a stop at a restaurant at a store first, just in case. And it's weird because think about the luncheons after a funeral.
Right. Oh, I've never heard of that one, but I like that one.
I knew a guy who would never leave a house through the door he came in.
I've heard of that too. What's behind that?
It was seen as bad luck on the farmers, or I don't know. But he would go out, come visit my parents, and he'd walk out the patio door and around the house.
What if there's only one door in your house? Got to go out a window.
He'd never come over.
Right. Then you have a building code, and you could get in trouble.
That's true.
Whistling indoors invites evil, according to a Lithuanian custom. It's forbidden to whistle indoors because the noise is believed to summon the demons.
But not sprites this time, demons?
No, that was a different thing.
All right.
Don't ever, and this has happened, here's a German superstition. Sometimes when you're at a wedding or at a party and you cheer your drink,
yes.
A lot of times there will be people who do not have alcoholic drinks, so they just clink their water glass. A German superstition declares that if you cheer with water, you're actually wishing death upon the people you're drinking with.
Wow. That's severe.
Wow.
I didn't know that. So it must be an alcoholic-based beverage if you're saluting, if you're cheering.
Yeah.
Or toasting.
Yeah.
Yes, toasting. Wow. Thank you, yes. Avoid sleeping with your head to the north.
That's impossible.
Japanese superstition, probably involving feng shui.
Yeah.
Sleeping with your head in this direction is bad luck because that's how the deceased are laid to rest. That's not true.
I don't think that's true anymore. It might have been at some point, but not anymore.
Avoid sleeping with your head to the west in Africa. If you sleep with your head to the west, it's bad luck.
Oh.
Where's my head?
I'm going to have to keep a card in my wallet showing me where I have to move my head when I'm asleep in various countries.
There's a compass on your iPhone, so at least that'll come in handy.
That'll help me a little bit.
I sleep with my head...
straight up.
Well, is it facing or your actual head?
Does it say? I'm not sure how specific they are.
My head is west. Keep your new shoes off the table. I have heard that too. It is uncleanly.
Just new shoes, though.
In Britain, it's considered bad luck because it's supposed to symbolize the death of a loved one. Back in the day, placing someone's shoes on a table was a way to let their family know that they passed away. You mean you wouldn't tell them? You'd just put, like, in their spot at the kitchen table, you'd just put their shoes?
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Right. Right. There's a Greek one where you take your index finger and you move the bottom part of your eye down and you can stare at somebody to like give them,
the
evil eye. Yeah, that's the evil eye.
Is it Greek? Because Italians have an evil eye too.
Oh.
I got two of them.
I have an evil nostril.
Itchy hands in Turkey. an itchy right hand means you'll come into some money, but an itch on your left hand means you'll lose money. And I remember, again, my grandmother telling me this. I'm like, God, my hand itches. Oh, that means you're going to come into some money. But the right hand means you're going to come into some money. The left hand means you're going to lose it.
But the same people who believe that will ask you, were your ears ringing? No, why were my ears ringing? Because we were talking about you. Did you ever hear somebody say that?
Yeah, I've said it.
You've said that. I knew somebody did. I couldn't think of who it was. It's you.
Stepping in dog doo-doo isn't necessarily bad. This one,
yes, it is.
Well, it's, yes, it seems unlucky all around, but just go with it. Stepping in doo-doo is actually considered good luck in France if you do it with your left foot. It's because, the only bad luck if you step with your right foot.
It's because in France you can't avoid it.
Where are we going to put out our cigarettes?
Oh, God. Did you ever have, speaking of doo-doo, a bird let one go on your shoulder? Because it's happened to me on several occasions.
I've been fortunate enough for that not to happen, but what is that also good luck or is
that
bad luck?
According to a Russian superstition, bird poop that lands on you or something that belongs to you will bring you wealth, something to keep in mind the next time you're reading under a tree.
Yeah, that was made up by the fool who got...
Have you gotten hit by bird stuff, Steve?
I have, yes.
Oh, okay, because I have, like, probably four or five times.
Wow.
Bill, you've never?
Same bird?
Probably.
That bird does not like you.
You got to move around more.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter. I am kind of sedentary. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And our friend Dane Neal is here to talk about the foods of the holiday, which is on Monday, Labor Day.
Right. We're going to all be cooking. Sorry, I just like this song.
Hi, Dane.
Me?
Who is this? who is this, Jess?
Hank Williams.
Oh, legend. Shame on me.
Legendary funny song.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, when it comes to holidays and cooking, we talk about all of them, and that's the way that people celebrate, come together, is typically through food. Of course, I think the major kind of team photo of grilling and barbecue and backyard kind of holidays, you've got Memorial Day, you've got, you know, 4th of July, you've got Labor Day, and of course, like the real reasons why those holidays are on the calendar and the importance, observance, and all the real important reasons that we have the day off, you know, mm-hmm. or that we're set to celebrate are so important, and that never gets lost. But the ways that we kind of celebrate and come together with it is through barbecue and grilling and
absolutely.
Oftentimes, we will talk with either celebrities in the barbecue or grilling world, and they'll give tips, and we'll get some more of that a little bit later on in the segment. But we don't always talk about, like, the meat side of things, you know, like where are you going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the popular cuts? What are some things that are out there on the trend side? And where can you go and pick it up with a butcher shop? Because it's different. You know, one time, you know, you're in Jewel or Costco or wherever you get your meat, and you're kind of looking through things. It's great to have sort of that, the butcher, right?
Sure.
That can kind of give you a little bit of
meat. Meat tastes better when it's wrapped in paper.
Is that, you know, true, Wendy?
It just does. When you go to the
flavored
butcher
paper.
Counter.
Flavored
paper. No, just that crisp brown paper, sometimes white. I don't know. When I walk out of there holding a package of meat, it just seems like it's going to taste better. It's usually a better cut, so that's probably why.
Well, you can get a family that knows what they're doing over their cramp packing, and they are in Franklin Park, and we've got Lucia Maffei on the line. Lucia, welcome to WGN, and are you excited for the holiday? This has got to be a busy time.
Oh, we are always crazy around these barbecuing holidays, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, are our most fun times of the year.
What is the biggest seller? Is it ribs? Is it steak?
It's ribs, it's steak, it's, you know, we make... I'm kind of partial, but we make the best Italian sausage, so our Italian sausage flies out around the holidays. Back ribs fly out. We make our own burgers, so the burgers fly out. And, you know, everyone now, a lot of people are really into the arachetta, the inner skirt steak, and we sell that, and that's a big seller as well. So all these yummy, yummy things, I'm getting hungry thinking about it.
I know.
So arancera. So Wendy was like,
I've never heard of it. Is it more tender than skirt steak?
It's skirt steak. It's just the Hispanic way that they say it. So a lot of people now, sometimes you say skirt steak, they maybe don't understand. We say arachetta. They're like, oh, that's what we get at the Mexican restaurants and stuff. And it is so tender. It is so juicy. We carry, you know, just the primest cut of the steak. So it is absolutely delicious.
And you cook that up on its own, or do you put that in tacos or a little bit of both?
Oh, I personally like to eat it by myself, but people put it in tacos. You can do whatever you want with it. But for me, I just, you know, like it on the grill, a little salt, a little pepper.
Yeah, that's it.
You can marinate it if you want, but I think the meat, it is so delicious on its own, you don't even need to do too much more to it.
I didn't necessarily think of talking about that today because it doesn't really come up as far as like your kind of barbecue foods, but arancera is great. We have it all the time, and it is super tender. You're right. And then you've also got the tenderizer. You run it through it, and it kind of has this thing that punches holes in it and makes it even more tender. But that's a great cut of meat. Yep.
That's a fantastic, yeah. But our sausage, you know, the sausage for us, and that's our, you know, since we make it in house, it's a 45-year-old recipe. Mm-hmm. So that's always a killer. And that goes all year round. But the barbecue holidays, it's just huge, absolutely huge.
And working with your brother Vince, and of course, you guys got to let the listeners know that you guys supply some of the top barbecue teams that are out there winning in competition. And of course, for the BBQ Smokedown that we did at Chicago.
Yes, we do. We supply, you know, our main business is pork. So we have the whole baby pigs, and we even have whole goats and whole lambs, all that as well. But the baby pigs and whatnot, that's, you know, big seller in the ribs, obviously, for all these barbecue competitions that it seemed to be growing bigger and bigger and, you know, by the minute.
Forgive me for asking this, but I have no idea. What would a whole goat or a whole pig even cost somebody? What kind of price, market price would you be paying for that?
Right now, like whole pigs, and anywhere from, like, you know, one, depending on the size, all going to be dependent on the size of the pig. Like about 179 a pound, but if you get a small itty bitty pig, like a 20 pounder,
yeah,
you're looking at, you know, it could be 230, 240. And, you know, these prices, honestly, they change weekly, sometimes even daily, you know,
wow,
based on their market prices. You know, the hog, it's a traded commodity, so we're the pigs are. It's a daily.
What are you having,
sometimes,
a luau?
But you could do that, right? You could have a pig roast.
Yeah, pig roasts have gotten huge. Pig roasts have gotten huge, and, you know, in my entire life being in this, you know, in this business, my father has been in this business for over 45 years. Pig roast used to be something you rarely saw.
Only in Hawaii, but not anymore.
Not anymore. Everyone's, I mean, people that have their own roaster, their own spit, their own, these boxes. I've heard of so many different methods that they're cooking these whole pigs. Now, even people, you know, they'll buy a 20-pound pig and put on their, if they've got a very large grill, just a regular grill.
They can put I have to say something. I want my pig to look like a pork chop. That's all. Maybe
you,
bacon.
You want the apple in the mouth.
No, I don't want this.
Do you guys ever do that where you kind of we remember, of course, from A Christmas Story or whatever, where they took off the goose's head, right? Or the duck's head.
Yeah.
Do you kind of is there a discretion process in order to make it more subtle, the animal? Do you have that where maybe some modesty cloth or something?
Where's your goose guillotine?
No, probably not. No, but we do have people do buy pig heads on their own as well. Just keep that in mind. There's no modesty in this business. There's no modesty. They sell every part of that
animal.
Why
get a pig head and mount it, put it on in your living room on the wall?
No.
That'd be great.
All right. So for those people that want to get stuff that is as appetizing, right, as it is delicious, talk a little bit about that, like the location where people can show up. And I know you guys have burgers. You mentioned the sausages, steaks, everything they'll need for the weekend.
Absolutely. So we're located in, we were in the city for many, many years. We just recently moved in the last couple of years to Franklin Park, and our address is 3434 Rungi Street, approximately off of Wolf Road in Grand, near Franklin Park. And this weekend we're, you know, doing a big blowout on back ribs at $150 a pound. Our yummy Italian sausage is going for $179 a pound. Our burgers, we have a couple of different sizes. We've got the third pound and the quarter pound burgers, both going $2.89 a pound. And those come in the boxes, you know, 5-pound or 10-pound boxes. Nice. And that yummy arachetta we were talking about is going for $5.49 a pound.
Lots of yummy deals,
lots of great, you know, good food, yummy deals, and very friendly employees. We've got longtime, you know, people that have worked here for 20, 30 years, and, you know, we've got a great team over here.
All that advice and all that insight you need to kind of steer you towards the stuff, and I got to tell you, it's like I said, the competitors win with this. It's the best stuff as well. So thanks, Lucia. Thanks for jumping on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having us. Have a good day.
You too.
I just don't want to see a pig looking like a pig. But I get it, and there is a great presentation if you're doing a pig roast.
Yeah.
I totally get it, and I'll still eat it. But.
Sure, but you need it to look a certain way. I understand that.
I mean, I totally get it.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a little break, and then more food talk with Dane Neal. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dane Neal, and as you would assume, because Labor Day is Monday, we're talking about the foods of Labor Day.
Yeah, the work that goes into all of that.
A lot of work.
All the rewards
that
happen during the weekend. Excited to have on the line. This is a guy who epitomizes the world of barbecue and Chicago at the same time. Yeah, TV star, author, restaurateur, barbecue Hall of Famer, but I think most importantly, especially as we head into the season, Bears fan, it's the one and only Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue. Ray, welcome to your hometown station.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you guys.
Hey, Doctor.
Ray, before we talk...
Give me a checkup.
Hey, Wendy.
Wow. That was blatant.
Well, technically... Technically, I'm pre-med, but I've been known to give an exam.
All right. Ray, since we know how much you love the Bears, and we're certainly going to talk food with you, but the Bears season's right around the corner. Are you predicting good things for the Bears this year?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, I'm Super Bowl for sure, and then maybe a minimum 8 peak.
Yep.
Minimum. I love it.
Well, so think about this.
I'm pretty sure that was a line out of SNL.
Mm-hmm. So as, you know, I think that around the country, there's lots of Bear fans around the country. Anytime you get a major area with an iconic franchise. So do you have other people that stop into Dr. Barbecue's in St. Petersburg and are also Bears fans? You guys do the high five or talk about the season?
Yeah, we do. We've got a couple that work there, actually. You know, Florida, we got a nice mix of all kinds of people from Florida. And you don't want to hit it be too heavy-handed because other than Packer fans, we welcome everybody. So my sister gave me a great sign for it to hang in the restaurant. It's like a green highway sign, and it says, United Center, 1,193 miles, Soldier Field, 1,196 miles. So it's kind of subtle, but the Chicago fans all get it.
That's very funny. Dane was telling us about a television show that you're going to be on this upcoming weekend. And Dane, you're on it as well, right?
I'm not prominently featured. You know, it's really
but
about
appearing for a few minutes.
But it's about the competition barbecue thing. And it's exciting, too, because it's on in this market on NBC Sports Chicago. It's 5 p.m. on Sunday, September 1st. And Ray's prominently in there. And it's really cool because he gets the chance to share, you know, a lot of the competition side of barbecue, a lot of the history. The show is called Chicago Origin. It's Focused.
Focus
is the name of it. I just wanted to throw that out there. That's not the main thing. You know, a lot of it is the food that people are going to enjoy. So, Ray, when it comes to Labor Day, this is, you know, it's a national holiday, obviously, for so many different reasons, but it's also a grilling and barbecue holiday. How do you do it?
Yeah, it's one of the best holidays of the year for that. Well, the thing to do is plan ahead. You know, I say this a lot about tailgating, but it applies to the holidays, too. If you say, I'm going to invite some people over and cook for them on Labor Day, well, get serious about it. Don't wait till Monday morning and go buy some brats and burn them. You know, plan on this. Get something good marinated. If you're going to cook, maybe cook some ribs. Spend a little money to buy something nice for these people. You invited them to your house. Make it really important for you, too.
When it comes to some of those kind of tougher, more barbecue central kind of meats, I mean, we're talking on a Wednesday. A lot of times we'll talk, it's Saturday. You know, you don't have enough time to go ahead and prep all of this stuff, but now you do. If people are going to think about it, they hear, and we just had Grant Park packing on talking about some of the meats. As far as some of those competition meats, you know, what should people start with if they want to make some of that to kind of enjoy during the weekend? Would it be ribs? Would it be pork chops? Should they take on the challenge of a brisket?
Well, I always think that when you're trying to impress people and get them excited, ribs is just the ultimate thing. You know, everybody I know can tell you where they ate the best slab of ribs they ever had in their life. And, you know, it might be your uncle's house and it might be a restaurant in Kansas City or in Chicago, but everybody knows. People are so obsessed and passionate about ribs. I just always think that's a good place to start. So I would go get some loin back ribs, peel the membrane off of them, smoke them for an hour, put them in some foil with some butter and brown sugar on them. Cook them for another hour, hour and a half till they're tender. And then put barbecue sauce on them, and they're going to be the best ribs you ever had.
Pork or beef, or is that just personal preference, right?
Well, pork is classic barbecue ribs. Beef ribs is a whole different thing. I mean, it's a different cut, and it's really chewy. So you're going to have to cook it a little bit more like a brisket or a chuck roast or something. Certainly a big hit. But it's hard to, it's not the classic slab like we think about for barbecued ribs.
And they're too big. I always feel like Fred Flintstone when I'm eating beef ribs.
And that's what we call them, yeah. We call them dinosaur ribs or ginormous ribs in the business. And that's definitely, you don't see a lot of girls ordering that.
When it comes to tailgating that's coming up, we feel like we do it better here in the Midwest, better maybe do it in Chicago. You've got, you know, there's a sports scene down there in Florida, but you having been in the parking lot at Soldier Field tailgating, talk a little bit about the kind of stuff that you're going to be doing or that people do or that you've done up here, and then also maybe the difference. Do people really enjoy it the same way down in Florida?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a tailgater in Chicago for many years. And back in the day when we could just pull in early and park right next to Soldier Field. And one day we were hanging around having quite a few beers after the game. And there's that little tunnel where you go underneath where the Bears all park. We snuck down there when the guard wasn't looking. And once we were in, they thought we were part of their tailgate party. So that's one of my fondest memories, meeting Jim McMahon. When he had the bad hand, he was like, I went to shake his hand. He said, yeah, be careful, man. My hand is still hurting. And we met Dan Hampton. And, I mean, it was really – that's one of my best tailgating memories when we snuck by the guard. But again, take it seriously. For ribs, for tailgating, what I used to do, true story at Soldier Field, I would cook them the day before and then cut them into, like, two bone pieces, put some sauce on them, and wrap it all up in foil. Then when I went out to the game, all I had to do was heat them up. So it just went on the grill for a couple minutes, and we had these great barbecued ribs in a quick way. You know, so you want to make stuff that you can do kind of reasonable out there. But again, you got to take it serious. The other thing I always used to do was bring something sweet, because there's always somebody that wants to have a cookie or a donut or a dessert or something first thing when they get there. So I used to make these bear helmet shaped cupcake things and put those out first, and they were a big hit too. A lot of great memories. Oh,
that sounds good. Ray, you mentioned brats a little while ago. Do you want to boil them in beer prior to grilling them, or is that just a waste of time?
No, it's the opposite of what you should do. What you want to do is grill them and then go with the hot tub method, where you have a pan on your grill next to them with butter, onions, and beer all in there. But first, grill them so you get them charred up nice, and then put them in the beer and let them hang around for a while. It really works good because then it holds them, too. So they can just hang out in there all day, and you eat them as you go, as opposed to boiling them. And it just never made any sense to me to boil them first, unless you were making, like, beer and brat soup, and I don't think that would be very good.
I don't know. It sounds
all
right.
It might be good. Ray, you have mentioned butter in two instances, which I have never heard of, one on ribs and one with bratwurst. What does the butter do besides just keep that flavor in there? It sounds great.
Well, it makes it taste good. I mean, and for sure. And you always want to add more fat. We are all from Chicago.
Sure.
You always want to add a little extra fat to the equation if you can. The rib thing, it's really a classic. The competition guys started it. You know, Dane was talking about that TV show. One of the reasons they wanted to talk to me, the barbecue competition thing grew up a lot, but I've been doing it since the 80s, so I'm literally one of the original guys. And somewhere along the way, somebody did that. They wrapped up their ribs. Actually, the competition guys are more apt to use margarine than butter. I don't really know why, but I switch that to butter for sure. But you just a little extra fat and a little extra sugar on top of your ribs, brown sugar usually, and, you know, who doesn't like that? When you're talking barbecued ribs, a little fatty and a little sweet, man, that sounds good to me.
And then for dessert, Ray, a stick of butter. What's better than that?
Wait. A stick of butter with some brown sugar on it.
Right, you got to throw some brown sugar on there.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
What do you think the first two ingredients to a cookie are, guys?
Butter. Yep, true.
Well, yeah, but there's no meat in a cookie. That's where it, you know.
You've never had Ray's meat cookies one day?
No.
Oh, they're so
good. I'll try
them.
Nobody makes brisket cookies better than Ray. So, it was great to have you on. Obviously, some great insight into ways people can enjoy and kind of celebrate with food during Labor Day weekend, and encourage people to get down to St. Petersburg and see you in person at Dr. Barbecue. Bill, you should see this restaurant, the entire wall, 30 feet high.
Yeah.
Big picture of Ray.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
Worth the trip just to see that.
Ray, winter's coming, you guys. Come see us.
All right. You got it. Great to talk to you, Ray. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Doc.
Enjoy your day off.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you.
All right. Dane, great to see you. Thank you so much for coming in.
I'll be, and for the listeners that may have been piqued their interest a little bit, or maybe their taste buzz, tonight we're going to do another kind of a little bit more in-depth barbecue preview after the Sox game.
And mention one more time, the television show that both Ray and you will be on over the weekend is called Focused.
It's called Focused, 5 p.m. On Sunday. So it's September 1st, 5 p.m. on Sunday.
On what channel?
On NBC Sports Chicago. Not only just us, but a lot of the great teams, the competition teams from around Chicagoland, the Speedway, bunch of stuff.
Very, very good. Thanks for being
here.
Thanks,
Dane.
Yep.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking food with Dane Neal, and can we just very briefly touch on the most important chicken sandwich of in all the land?
This is the Popeye's chicken sandwich that's already sold out. Is that the one?
Yeah. I don't understand how it can already be sold out. I was lucky enough to have had one. It was probably 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the commercials on TV. Mm-hmm. I do like Popeye's, so mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to give it a try. They have a spicy and a mild, like their chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I am telling you, this is the best chicken sandwich I have ever had in my life.
Oh.
The spicy one, it's so much, you could almost split it with someone. The chicken breast is so big.
Yeah.
But why was it available 3 weeks ago and now all of a sudden it's the hottest commodity in the world?
Twitter.
Social media.
Yeah. Is it also possible, because this looks really good for them to sell out of an item, is it possible that in an effort to sell more, I know this will sound crazy, but maybe they under-ordered it. Maybe they purposely didn't want to have it ready so that it'd be a story that this chicken sandwich is so good that they're sold out. It makes them look great, you know?
I like your conspiracy theory on this because it really does make you want the demand
right.
to be more than, you know, you don't want to have a surplus of chicken sandwiches.
Right. Now, remind me, because I don't know this. Is this the chicken sandwich that's not really chicken?
Oh, no.
This is really chicken.
This isn't beyond chicken.
Somebody's experimenting with
that. Oh, that's
KFC. That. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beyond chicken that they're going to do nuggets, I think.
I think maybe both, I think.
What, are they going to shape it in the, like a leg, like there's a leg or a thigh?
Yeah, maybe.
The Popeye's chicken sandwich.
You know how they did with McDonald's with the McRib where they shaped.
Isn't that magical?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's more appealing to us, the consumer, for it to be shaped like ribs, because then we tell ourselves, well, it's ribs. Look, it's shaped like ribs. So any food place can do that. Shape their food to be whatever they want to shape it into.
Well, that's the magic of
shaping
food these days.
Yeah.
So Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen launched a spicy chicken sandwich.
Was it overly spicy or just spicy enough?
Well, I don't, if you've had Popeye's spicy chicken, it's spice.
Like that.
Which
I don't know that I've ever had that.
Oh, it is really super good.
It also comes in the original as well.
Right.
Oh, it does?
And I didn't have that. I had to go spicy because whenever I go to Popeye's, I get the spicy chicken.
Yeah.
It's not too hot.
It's breaded?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to describe it for you, and it's $3.99, which honestly is not that much money.
Fairly priced.
It is so big.
Isn't a McChicken, like, it's less than $2, isn't it, at McDonald's?
No. A McChicken.
Can't even compare them?
It serves a purpose. And now the jalapeno spicy McChicken is back, and that's pretty good as well, and it's like $1.19
right.
or something. It cannot compare.
Oh, is that all it is? Is $1.19?
Yeah, their McChickens are on the $1.19 menu.
Wow.
It's not a dollar menu
no.
anymore.
They had to up it a little?
It's just, I can't tell you. The meat is flavorful. It's encased in a spiky golden sea urchin of batter, according to this one person on Jezebel.com.
What does that mean?
It just means that there is so much breading and crispiness.
Yeah.
And the chicken in there, it's like the biggest chicken breast sandwich I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
But they're out of it everywhere. I know our family wanted to get it yesterday because it's the power of suggestion.
That's what I'm saying. They know what they're doing. I don't think it's an accident that they're sold out because everybody's talking about it today. Which makes everybody go, well, now I have to have it. If it's that good, I must have it.
And I heard Steve Grzanich report this morning that Popeye's is working round the clock to get... I doubt it very much.
24 hours, they won't stop.
Yeah.
They're going to get you chicken.
Is there a description of it somewhere? Because I just want to make you drool. There's a good tangy sauce.
It can't
sauce
be that different from any chicken sandwich I've ever had, can it?
It's unlike anything I've ever had.
Really?
This kills me that, like, CNN is reporting. I mean,
that's
like, this
I mean.
Is the biggest news in all the land.
Popeye's is loving this like crazy because it has created such an interest in it.
They
probably only ordered 3 per store. We wish we had more. We had no idea that it would sell like this.
That is Popeye's doorbuster?
Yes.
They only got 3?
Yep.
All right. It is a fried chicken filet on a brioche bun.
All right, I like that. That sounds continental.
The company released a statement yesterday saying that, quote, extraordinary demand for the sandwich led the company to be sold out in just 2 weeks.
Wow.
Since its nationwide debut on August 12th.
You got in on the bottom level there.
I got to be honest with you. I bet we got it on August 12th. I thought it was 3 weeks ago. Yeah. But
you didn't wait outside for the day it would first be introduced?
No, I saw the commercial. I'm like, God, I love Popeyes. I love chicken sandwiches. Let's give it a try. I think probably one of my sons said, hey, you want to try the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
They're going to have to change their song now to Love That Chicken at Popeyes When We Can Get It. I'm just going to have to throw that in at the end of every commercial.
Popeyes restaurants across the country are expected to sell out of the chicken sandwich by the end of this week. Many stores already have been without the product. I called two Popeyes yesterday, and they were out of them.
Did they laugh at you?
Yes.
Lady, read the papers.
They just answered the phone. We're sold out. Second one, just about.
Are people hoarding them and selling them on eBay for astronomical prices?
Yes.
Are they?
And you just microwave them. The war for who has the best chicken sandwich was ignited on Twitter earlier this month with Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, and Wendy's all vying to be top dog.
Oh.
The demand for the Popeyes sandwich was so high that hour-long lines were reported.
An hour-long
at some locations.
Sandwich.
Someone even tried to sell the sandwich on eBay for $7,000. You weren't kidding.
That's a real thing now?
Social media users weren't having the news of Popeyes being sold out and responded to the company with gifs of crying faces and responses of disbelief.
No.
Others commented they were heading over to Chick-fil-A. I'll show you. Popeyes sandwiches aren't gone forever. We, along with our suppliers, are working tirelessly, says the Popeyes people in a statement, to bring the new sandwich back to guests as soon as possible. The company said those who want to be notified when they return to stores should download the Popeyes app and sign up for push notifications.
So they will. Popeyes will send you something via text, I'm guessing, saying
they're back.
They're back in. Please come by. Drive recklessly to the closest Popeyes and get a sandwich while you can.
It's the best chicken sandwich I have ever had. Don't you like a crunchy, crispy chicken sandwich?
Yeah. I mean, sure. It's good, but
It's really good.
I wouldn't lose any sleep over it if it was sold out.
No. But when it comes back, you should do yourself a favor and
try one eventually.
And $3.99 for what you're getting.
Yeah, fairly priced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the side of red beans and rice, you are good to go.
And what, in addition to the chicken itself, I'm guessing you get lettuce and probably a tomato on there, I'm guessing.
I don't recall.
You don't remember
there's
that?
Some kind of cheese. I'm trying to find the ingredients. Jasmine, I don't know if you were looking for it, but
Does cheese come standard, or is that, do you have to one up it a little bit?
No cheese. It doesn't come.
Oh, there's no cheese.
No.
There was some kind of tangy mayonnaise sauce that was on it.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
I gotta find out the ingredients. And I don't recall if there was lettuce and tomato. All I'm telling you, it was the best thing I've ever had in the way of a chicken sandwich.
And were people in the restaurant just making crazy moaning noises, loving it so much?
I did the drive-thru, so I don't know.
Oh.
And there was no, like, I just ordered it, a couple of, you know, could I get 4 spicy chicken sandwiches? Sure, that'll be
They didn't say to you, lady, if I were you, I'd get myself 3 dozen of these, because you're not going to be able to get them in a week. Was there any of that?
I don't think they knew.
This blindsided the Popeyes staff?
I could imagine. Norma is here. Hey, Norma, what's the news?
I just bought my sandwich on Belmont and Lockwood. They have chicken sandwiches.
Honest
there.
To God.
We have to alert our traffic team to watch that area closely now.
Belmont and Lockwood.
Yeah.
Did you just picked it up just now?
I just zoomed right in. There was only one car behind me, but over the weekend on Sunday the line was like 3 blocks down. And I said, I'm going to wait till today, and I did. And
have you eaten it yet, or is it in your hand right now?
No, you hear the bag.
Oh, my God.
3D.
I just paid for it.
And it's $3.99, correct?
Exactly.
Are they limiting, Norma, how many you can purchase?
No, they're not.
No, they're
I bought two of them because I'm going to meet up with a friend, and I said I might as well just take her a sandwich.
Yeah, oh,
you're the best friend in all the land.
Oh.
Did you get spicy?
No, I I can't have spicy food, but I got her a spicy and me a regular one.
Yeah.
Bill, that is a friendship.
That's a true friend right there, Norma. You are a true friend.
Wow. It's right there on Belmont and Lockwood.
Can I ask you, are you driving right now or have you pulled over to the side of the road?
Hands free.
I just pulled over.
Would it be possible for you to just take one bite and tell me if it is, in fact, the best chicken sandwich you've ever had? Wendy says it's the best she's ever had. I'm curious if that holds up. All right, just take a little. Don't eat all of it, just a little bit. All right.
You're going to hear all that. You know what? It's in the little bag they put it in. It keeps it nice and hot.
Yeah, I bet.
I love it.
It's a thermal-controlled bag, Wendy.
It's the first time I buy it. It is huge.
Yeah?
Let me see.
All right, be careful. All right. So this is Norma. She's trying the new Popeye's chicken sandwich to see if it's the best she's ever had.
I thought I heard her say
I heard honey. Did you hear
it? What? Delicious.
It's delicious, but I hear coughing and choking.
Maybe she bit the spicy one by mistake.
Be careful.
Because I'm laughing at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Isn't it like the biggest the biggest chicken breast you've... I mean, it's thick, it's good, it's crunchy, there's a mayonnaise on it. Is there lettuce and tomato?
No, there's no... wait a minute. I should not lie. It has... pickles.
Oh yeah,
pickles.
Yeah, that's
really?
Yeah, that's the southern way of doing it.
It has mayonnaise and it has pickles,
and that's it. And chicken, obviously,
and a huge chicken breast, and it's real chicken.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
And is it the best you've ever had in your whole life?
Are you talking from Popeyes or just in general?
Wendy, you said the best.
I
you've
said
ever
it was
had
one
anywhere.
Of the best chicken fried chicken sandwiches I've had in my life.
Does it hold up like that?
It's good. I give it a good rating. It's okay. Very, very good. You'll have to try it.
All right.
1 to 10, what do you give it?
Right now, because I was so hungry, I'll give it a 10.
Oh, all right. That was a factor.
All right. Well, Belmont and Lockwood, red alert, red alert. They do have chicken sandwiches at Popeye's there. Thanks to Norma. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Norma.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And now they're pulling her over.
I know.
You know she is going to finish the sandwich here. She is taking a bite. She's not going to wrap it up and bring it to her friend.
Of course not.
She's going to eat the friend's one, too.
Can't blame her. All right, we'll take a break. Then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder.
Love that chicken.
Hey, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Everybody loves Popeyes. And now get 14 pieces of delicious Popeyes chicken spicy or mild for just $9.99. That's 14 pieces, just $9.99.
I like Popeyes chicken. And Chick-fil-A started, that was the first time I ever had a pickle on a sandwich.
Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A does a fine job, but this is a different type of sandwich.
Uh-huh.
It's crunchier. It's more flavorful.
Yeah. And you said gigantic.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A has a nice size breast as well, but this is just, it's crunchier and more breading. That's what I like about it.
Well, it's taken America by storm. Many saying that Popeye's locations are sold out. We just found out otherwise. But my fear, Wendy, is that what'll happen here is what happened with Cabbage Patch Kids and Beanie Babies, where people find out what store has it, and all of a sudden everybody within a 60-mile radius just flocks to that store. Just be careful out there. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not giving the location again because I may pop there on the way home and get four of them.
Yeah?
They're really good.
Yeah.
And now things always taste better when you can't have them.
But that goes back to my theory of Popeye's knowing what's going on, saying, let's under-order on these for just a little bit and create a little bit of a stir, and that'll be better for us in the long run. I think they know what they're doing.
Although, I have to tell you the truth, I don't think they ever would have thought for a minute this thing would sell out like it did.
Well, Jasmine has explained to us, our producer Jasmine has explained to us, that there has been something of a chicken sandwich war. And I've seen stories online. I didn't know it's become a war. I thought it's just everybody bragging that their own chicken sandwich is better than the others. But apparently, Chick-fil-A and Popeye's have been at each other's throats over this. Right, Jasmine?
That's
been going on for a week or so?
That'll...
Yeah, 2 weeks
couple
or
couple
so
of weeks.
August 12th is when this came out, and I think I had it August 12th, and it looks like I'm never going to have one again.
I'm confident at some point you'll have one again. I'm almost sure.
In a video posted to Twitter, Popeye said it is sold out. The company has been in a feud with Chick-fil-A, inspiring consumers to taste the new sandwich for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It also said the sandwich would be back soon, and this time it would be for good. So it's not going to be a limited thing like a McRib.
Right.
This is going to be good
Part
to go.
Part of their usual menu.
And then you know what's going to happen? No one's going to buy it.
That would be how it should work.
Because that's the way things
right.
work around
oh,
here.
Oh, it's plentiful? Oh, no thank you then. I only wondered if it's rare.
So the Twitter feud started this. They called it... its first nationwide chicken sandwich, their biggest launch in nearly 30 years.
For Popeyes?
They've never had a that? Chicken sandwich. It's always just chicken and tenders.
I wonder why. You would think that that would just be a natural. If it's a it's a place that sells chicken, why wouldn't they put it in a sandwich form?
It was weird. I was wondering, I really do like Popeyes chicken very much, and I was wondering why they didn't have a chicken sandwich.
Is Popeyes the place that from time to time does shrimp poor boys? Or you're supposed to say po' boys, but I'll just say poor boys.
Yes.
Right?
They do
that's
that.
That's them, right?
Yeah.
So why would they have shrimp sandwiches but not chicken sandwiches?
Because
if
that's just during like the Mardi Gras time. I don't know if you can get them all the time.
Oh,
they have, you know, everybody has various specials to coordinate with what holiday it is.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is the chicken sandwich holiday, and Belmont and Lockwood.
For those of you who could decipher what Wendy said, that's your Popeye's location. And there's probably more. My guess is there's probably more out there. It wouldn't just be one store that would have them. That would be crazy.
I don't know, Bill. They've sold out around the country.
Yeah.
And I called two places near me that were out of them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of probably stupid to call them again today because it's not like they're going to get a new shipment in the morning.
But they are answering the phone by saying, it's Popeye's. We don't have them.
The second
stop
one
bothering
did.
Us. Please stop bothering us.
Wendy, goodbye.
Right.
Give us your number. We'll call you when they come in.
Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, and we'll talk about superstitions. We started this earlier on the show. We'll debunk the superstitions, and you can join in at 312. Oh, a different number. I'm sorry.
312-235-2525. And very quickly, I just want to say that when we were coming home from Disneyland, the boys made, all three of them, including Jim, made lightsabers. And
yes.
we were curious as to whether or not we could carry those through security.
Yes.
So we went to the TSA website, and it says, yes, lightsabers are able to
allowable.
Be packed.
Yeah.
Well, there's another thing from Disney Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They sold little bottles of Coke, Diet Coke, and Sprite, and they looked like they resembled, I don't know, if they were round
like
plastic
a futuristic
bottles.
Bottle, right?
Yes, it's made to look as they really come from Black Spire Outpost on Batuu, the fictional planet that the setting is for the land. And instead of normal soda bottles, they sell little round plastic bottles with the labels. It doesn't say Coca-Cola. It says Ourobesh, the writing system in the Star Wars franchise. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
We took them home. We
you
emptied
had
them.
On the plane?
Yeah, we drank them. We washed them out, put them in the luggage, and took them home. And now the U.S. Transportation Security Administration has banned that souvenir on checked bags and carry-ons because it looks too much like a weapon.
It does look like it has a hand grenade look to it.
It's perfectly round, so it looks like that cartoon bomb that you'd see in like the Roadrunner cartoons.
Right.
But it could create concern that it's the real thing. They resemble thermal detonators or fictional explosive devices in films.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you cannot take them through.
Mm.
So I don't know if you should mail them home or what, but
That's your best
we
option.
Could sell ours on eBay.
Yep.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.